We welcome to the program a former NBA player, coach, a very successful businessman as well. He'll be coming to Maine for the Maine Basketball Coaches Clinic on November 2nd. We're pleased to be joined by Butch Carter. Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here with us. And boy, what a lineup for this coaches clinic that Richard Barron has put together with you, Gannon Baker, one of the best teachers of the game. It's going to be a great time.
Well, it should be a great time. I'm really feel fortunate that Coach Barron reached out to me and asked me to come in and help him with this event. And I'm looking forward to it.
You, I think, were ahead of the curve and ahead of a lot of people when it came to the use of analytics. How did you happen to embrace that?
Well, basically, I got lucky that at the time the league had all this data they had collected. At that time, the league had put 20 cameras in every arena, and they had collected all this ball movement data. But unfortunately, no one was using it. So the lockout year, the first year I was head coach on a full-time basis, I had the time when the boys went back to school. I went out to Colorado Springs and sat with a guy who was managing the data and the servers. And fortunately for me, he was a Canadian. And so after a lot of good food and good cold beer, he was a brilliant mathematician. And together we were dangerous because I'm very good at math, not to his level. His name's Mike Ellis. But we were able to put together a combination because Mike knew nothing about the operational side of how you put together a basketball team. And I played on a great team. I got drafted in on a Lakers team that had just won the NBA championship. And then I played on bad teams from injury. So I think the first thing and the best thing that we did that has lasted to this day was that we recognized that for me to stay as coach of an expansion team, I was going to have to get another contract by winning. And the only way to do that is you have to understand that half the games are lost. In the NBA, 1,230 games are lost. You have to remove yourself emotionally from what's going on and deal with the hardcore math that it's a zero-sum business. And you need to be very good at the positive integers that are on the right side of that negative number.
Do you find that coaches are reluctant to rely on the numbers because they're more inclined to believe what their eyes tell them or their experience tells them?
Well, I mean, you should. You know, I was relying on what my eyes told me. My eyes told me that I've been through two great winning championship training camps with the Lakers. Then I go to the Pacers, and if you made two shots in a row, you came out of the game because they were trying to get Ralph Sampson in the lottery. And then I go to the trade to the Knicks, and the Knicks were devastated by injury. That ended up being the team that got Patrick Ewing in the lottery. So, you know, at the end of the day, yes, coaches should use, they need to use it, be their personality, and use their eyes. But the reality is that in all conferences, from East Coast to West Coast, at every level, from high school, college, and pros, half the games are lost. And you need to decide which quadrant. And we just always break it down in four quadrants. Which quadrants do you want to be in? Now, colleges are sometimes at a huge disadvantage. You take Maine. Maine has a higher academic standard. It's tougher to get it done because you have the analytical number that's empirical, but you have an academic standard, which is really good for the university and the students that come there. But sometimes when you put them in an environment where other schools are allowed to recruit a lot of JUCO players and two-year players and transfers. So, you know, it needs to fit. At the end of the day, you need to find out where you're comfortable at with it. But I've always just been able to explain it as, look, I'm not the guy in the office who was brilliant at math and never went through putting a team together. So what those guys are doing is a computation of an event. No different than I pull the trigger and shoot a moose. Right? we go pick him up, we put him in a truck, and then try to wane. You know what I mean? You know, so, and make sure that our permit says we shot him in the right place. So, you know, it's a computation of an event, but analytics for coaches is a computation of how your practices, your recruiting, how everything has to flow into one motion going positive going forward.
We're talking with Butch Carter here on Downtown. What's the most common mistake you see young coaches make?
Young coaches, all of them believe because of social media that they can be king of the workout. And it's hard to be king of the workout or player development because the current AAU environment in which, you know, we've seen the trial stuff with Adidas doesn't teach kids two things. It doesn't teach them to count, and they've lost the importance of winning. They play so many games in the summer. They play, you know, sometimes three games in a day. Winning the game is not important, and your statistics on how you played is not important. The most important thing is all the kids want to play, and they want to play a lot. And then you take that mentality and roll it into a college coach that's trying to build a team. And there's a huge adjustment that has to be made. And as a priority, in my opinion, the biggest mistake young coaches make is that they don't correct this problem of the lack of communication because of the personal computer kids walk around with in their hand, and the fact that they don't know how to count. So they'll go into a game and be 1 for 7. And the third most important empirical number is scoring runs. So if you're 1 for 7, it's hard to get your team on a scoring run.
I wonder, too, I think we have more opportunities, not just in basketball, but in all athletics. There are more opportunities for young people, but are you seeing that translate into improved fundamentals?
No, it's not, because basically the analytics guys are telling the kids shoot three-pointers or, you know, get a layup. Well, let's go back to the empirical number. If half the games are lost and you've got all the kids shooting threes on losing teams, it's not doing the coach and the coaching staff and the administration much good. So, you know, the way things are built is everything with me was always driven off of half the games are lost. So, as an example, in the NBA, I don't know why Danny Ainge would ever care what Charlotte win-loss record for Atlanta, because, you know, they're in the lower half. They're not a very good team. And my model works so well that in the 54-year history of the NBA, no one took a team from less than 20 wins, in which when I took over the job, we ended up with 18, to the playoffs, and we did it in 18 months. We only had a half a season, 50 games, and then the second year we finished third in the Central Division. So, yes, I did have good players, but, you know, as an example, let me give you an example. There are four quarters in a game, women's, NBA, college. The coaches put their practice plan together. They don't practice part of the game. They don't practice coming out of halftime. So these are all the things that young coaches, instead of learning the math, they think it's more of personality, relationships with kids. But as I tell, you know, my younger brother is Chris Carter, played for the Vikings, and Chris was always yelling, you know, it's the Jimmies and Joes. And I always told him, hey, man, the Jimmies and Joes are a whole lot of better with good X's and others.
No question about that. As you look around the NBA, Coach, is there somebody out there, is there a coach who really maximizes the talent they have and does that through the use of analytics?
Well, I think from an analytical standpoint, you know, I like the direction that Boston was going, and Kyrie threw all of us a curve. But most teams do not do a really good job analytics, because the analytics in the NBA are around controlling the front office and the ownership. And they're not analytics that are geared toward, you know, the coaching staff. Because as the salaries have been astronomical for NBA players, the front office realized that the players would play for anyone. Now, if any one of you have a pet, dog, or cat, if we took that pet, cat, or dog tomorrow, and said that he was head coach of an NBA team, I guarantee those players to protect their contract would stick their hand in and say, hey, coach, let's go. It's just, so it's really a tough situation. I thought what Brooklyn did from the standpoint of in the last 2 years, they put in a philosophy, they got some veteran players with some younger players, they played hard. But outside of Golden State dominated winning the first and third quarter. That's the second most important analytic. They dominated the last 6 years. of scoring runs. If you go back to the Golden State versus Portland series last year before they played Toronto, they murdered Portland in the third quarter. The Toronto won the championship because they were able to reverse that trend, except for Game 5, in which the Toronto coach didn't do a very good job. But Toronto won the first and third quarter. I think that was directly related to Kawhi, because before Golden State dominated the first and third quarter, San Antonio controlled that stat, and before San Antonio was Utah with Stockton and Karl Malone.
So what's the primary message you'll have for coaches who come to this clinic? Again, the Maine Basketball Coaches Clinic coming up on November 2nd.
I'm just going to go through this. I've got a simple module called Timeout Solutions. Basically, what I did for my team was that we practiced coming out of timeout. Timeouts create a blind spot against really good opposing coaches. You know, like I would say, you know, Richard Barron and his staff, they've got it scouted with video, and some assistant coach and Richard are going to know what we're going to run. But what we would do is that we would never run a play that was one of our regular plays, and we looked at the timeout like a T. On the left side of the T, underneath, is the offensive side, or what we call the first side, and the right side of the T is what we call the second side. On every timeout, you have a chance to either make good on your possession, or you, on the second side, you have a chance to counterpunt the team that has the ball. So every timeout now becomes a double-edged sword. And when you're a bad team, you need to be very quiet, professionally quiet. Don't come on the floor and call out the play, because there are good coaches. The only way for you to go up the ladder is to beat good coaches. That's normally how people make a reputation for themselves. But timeout with, let's go back to the NCAA championship game. The last timeout Texas Tech called, they were on the second side of the ball, and no one told them to foul. Because they didn't foul, Virginia drove, they sunk, he picked the ball out for a three-point shot, and if they don't make that three-point shot, I don't believe Virginia wins, because all Tech has to do is make their free throw. So knowledge is powerful, good knowledge is powerful in any industry, but basketball, I believe it's grown to be more powerful, because with the process of the kids coming from AAU, they are not well trained as they used to be. High school basketball is not what it used to be. There were coaches. My coach won 670 games. He'd been there for 35 years. You know, a very good coach. You know, everything was controlled from the time you came in, and you learned how to play basketball, you know, from the time I was in the 10th grade. And these kids, you know, they don't get that. So it is a different world. I think it's tougher for coaches. I think that Richard, has a hard job to do, not only because of the academics, but just because the other guys don't have the academics. So I'm looking forward to coming out and supporting him and the Maine program, and I think it'll be fun. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on.
Well, we appreciate you being with us. The Maine Coaches Clinic coming up on November 2nd. You can visit Butch Carter's website as well at analyticsforcoaches.com. Butch Carter, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
No, thank you again for having me, guys. Good luck to you. And hope the weather's been good out there, at least a little.
We'll keep it good for you. Don't worry about that, Coach.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Butch Carter with us here on Downtown.